I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Amen.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. Just a few announcements tonight before I hand the floor over for further announcements. I don't usually make reference to this type of thing, but this afternoon there were several hundred people that said goodbye to a remarkable individual who lost his life tragically 1 week ago today. Scott Biller was a beloved son, father, and father-in-law, grandfather, brother, uncle, colleague, and friend. The Leisureplex was filled with grief, but also love for a wonderful man whose life was ended far too soon. Scott touched the lives of many. He was a successful businessman, a supporter of our community, an inspiration to many, and perhaps most importantly, the paragon of an ideal human being. His passing is a great loss to all who knew him and to our town. Our deepest sympathies go out to Scott's wife, Cassandra, and the entire Biller family, as well as all of those who mourn his passing. He will continue to be present with them, even now, as he was in life. May he rest in peace. With respect to activities in the community, the Crystal Beach Farmers Market opened for the first time on Sunday morning. They had a very good turnout, and the weather held off for them. It looked like it was going to be raining, but they had an excellent first go at it, and they look very much forward to the rest of the summer. That market is held Sunday mornings from 8 until 12:30 p.m. We have a number of cadet inspections coming up over the next week and a half, starting with the Army Cadets, which is Friday, May the 26th at 7 p.m. at the Optimist Club. Then the next night, next day, the Navy League is having its inspection at 11 a.m. at the Leisureplex. That's May the 27th. And then on June the 3rd, the Air Cadets hold their annual inspection at 2:45 p.m. again at the Leisureplex. And then finally, we have the news about the party on the patio. And before I hand the floor over to Councillor Butler, I want to say thank you. Thank you to Councillors Butler, Zanko, and Passero for the remarkable job that was done. The event was a huge success. I know you're going to speak about that, but from the perspective of an observer and someone who's very much concerned about the revenues that we need to raise in order to construct and pay for the theater that's going to be part of the new high school, I want to thank you. It was, aside from a fantastic fundraising event, it was an event that brought the community together, and there were many, many people that had an opportunity to spend an evening together. It was a fun evening. The entertainment was fantastic. The only people that were nervous that I was aware of were the chief and the deputy chief, a little concerned about the fire, but how you three ever got volunteer firefighters, let alone at least one district chief, to carry in a torch, that was remarkable. So I know that the chief started to relax near the end of the evening, and anyways, it was well done. So, Councillor Butler, I will hand the floor over to you to continue on with the announcements about the party on the patio.
Thank you very much, Your Worship. It was a very successful evening, and Fred Lowe's the principal of the new high school is here this evening, and it was wonderful to have the firefighters there, and the crowd gave a standing ovation as they walked out and stood in front with their torches lit, and we have to thank both you and Keith German for putting out the fires afterwards. But it was one of those evenings where you didn't realize how many people in the community really support events like this, and how we raised this pile of money to donate to the new theater build because of all of the individuals that came together from the community to join us that evening, not only corporate but private citizens, education, and we also had members of the Town of Fort Erie staff who purchased their own tickets and actually stood up there and sang like Christina Aguilera. So that was very nice that the clerk did that for us. before we get started, and I pass the torch over to Councillor Zanko and Councillor Pissarro, I'd like to introduce Councillor Nutt to talk about the seat sales. He has a presentation to give to Mr. Lowe's this evening, so I'd like to have him start with that before we go any further.
Thank you, Councillor Butler, and thank you to your worship for indulging us in this. I just want to make an announcement as in regards to the seat sales that's going on as part of the fundraising for the Embrace Greatness Theater of the Arts, and I just have a little flyer, and I've distributed some of these flyers around town, which show the seating, the cost. I had them printed out. Thank you very much to the design crew at the DSBN that put it together. But if you do see these lying around, it gives you information on the cost of the seats, what you can do, and how to make the purchase for the Embrace Greatness. Now, this is a great way to support the theater. It's also on the website. When you go to the website, you could do a monthly payment if you don't have the full amount. You can do it in small allotments and help to donate to this theater. So tonight, my family and I will be presenting a check to Mr. Lowe's for two seats in memoriam to our grandparents who have been great contributors. It's something that they've done in the past in regards to the YMCA for some of the recognizing some of their children that had passed too soon, some of my aunts and uncles. So the family thought this would be a fantastic opportunity to recognize their generosity and kind of memorialize them in the way that they have done in the past for their children.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt.
Thank you. And I'd like to once again thank all of the people that participated and say well done. And Councillor Zanko, can you take over the next?
Sure. Thank you, Councillor Butler. It's just things like that that just continue to surprise me with our community. And on Saturday night, it was just amazing to see so many people that had come out to purchase tickets and to embrace our community in such a great cause. I have to say that, in my opinion, one of the reasons why the event was such a huge success is the amount of volunteers we had. It was amazing to see high school students, university students just come forward immediately because they want to invest in their own future, or university students that understand how important a Center of Arts is. So they've just worked themselves to the bone, whether it was set up, cleanup, working the event. It just wouldn't have been possible without our volunteers, including our students. So I just want to thank our entire community, because if you were there on Saturday, you would have seen most of them. And we just hope to continue with this great cause and continue to raise funds for our next generation. Councillor Pissarro?
Thank you, Councillors Zanko and Butler. I just wanted to extend my sincere appreciation on behalf of our trio to the facilities staff over at the Leisureplex and here at Town Hall. When we come up with events like this, we have very, very crazy ideas. We have ideas as to how we can make it happen, but it's really the facilities staff that are very tolerant of us and very patient and who never say no. So thank you, Tom, Kelly Walsh, Sean Hutton, Derek Teal, all the way down the line. The guys were absolutely fantastic, including all of the individuals who were on site, not just the night of, but the days prior and specifically the day after, when everybody else is home nursing their hangover and we have our hangovers stacking chairs and packing tables. And I just wanted to give another appreciation note to the many service providers who contributed services to the events. We go out, we ask for price quotes come back in. We grind people down by every penny we can, telling them it's a good cause. And then in the days prior, when they can't change their prices, we go after even more. And nobody ever says no. They always make it happen. And lastly, I wanted to thank three individuals who really helped us pull together the decor elements. And that's Brent Wood from Lawns & More, as well as Adam and Diana Sneak from The Mill. Brent's design expertise helped us kind of create the landscape that we were able to have that party in. Adam and Diana at The Mill donated all of the plants and the shrubs, the materials that you saw there that night. And I just wanted to give one very quick story as to community-mindedness in Fort Erie. Our plan was on Thursday that we were going to pick up everything from The Mill. Thursday, if you recall, was an extremely, extremely windy day. And our best plans came and went because we were going to utilize an open trailer to go and pick up everything. On any other day, it would have not been an issue. But the severe winds and given the flowering baskets that we were picking up and the gentle shrubs and the bougainvilleas and the whole nine yards, we just couldn't do it because Adam and Dan were getting way too nervous as to what condition these things would arrive in. So circling through the town, trying to come up with a plan B, I was on my way home and I passed by the self-storage facility at Gilmore Road. And I saw a truck and a trailer sitting there. And I pulled in, did a U-turn, went in, introduced myself, said I have a big fundraising event happening on Saturday. I have about $5,000 worth of trees and shrubs that I need to get to the Leisureplex 2 hours from now, or every single one of my timelines is messed up. And I said, who owns that truck and trailer? He said, I do. I said, and who are you? He said, my name's Brad. I'm one of the owners. He says, what time do you need me to be at the mill? So that gives you a sense of the community that we live in. He could have very easily said, I'm sorry, this is the Thursday before a long weekend. We're closed tomorrow and Monday. I have better things to do. But he didn't. We kept him way too long at the mill because we changed our mind on a couple things. Never once rolled his eyes, never looked at his watch. So I'm proud to be in this community. I'm very privileged to have worked alongside Councillor Zanko and Butler again for another great event. I heard a crazy rumor through Facebook that Councillor Butler is saying we're doing this a third time. I don't believe a lot of things I read on Facebook, so we'll have to chat about that later tonight. But if we are, count me in. Great evening. Happy to be a part of it. Thank you, Councillor Butler. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillors. And Mr. Lowe's, we are so thrilled to be able to announce that we have accumulated $110,000 as a direct result of contributions made this weekend. We'd like to present the check to you right now.
Yeah. Mr. Lowe's, would you like to say a few words?
Yes, please, and thank you. Just a few, because I think everything has been said, but I would like to thank some of the larger contributors that evening, Canadian Niagara Power, Westwind Developments, Rick Strom from Tim Hortons, as well as Brad Brunton for their generous donations. And I would like to echo what you had said, Mayor Redekop, regarding Councillors Butler, Zanko, and Passero. These three individuals never cease to amaze me. I know that all three of them have full-time jobs. They have full-time home and family commitments, and they got this little thing on the side called, council duties, which for most is a full-time job. How they ever pulled off an event like the Fire and Ice Gala and last year's party on the patio behooves me, but I'm very thankful. And bringing the town together, talking to people outside of Fort Erie, they're continually amazed at all the great things that go on in this town. The fact that we're raising the $3 million for Center for the Arts, it's unheard of. So a huge thank you to all three, and Councillor Nutt for your donation this evening as well, very much appreciated. But I don't know how big of a thank you is possible, but the biggest one ever, thank you.
Thanks very much, Mr. Lowe's, and again, congratulations to all who participated. And again, thank you to all of the people in the community who came out and supported this event. I know you had over 500 tickets sold, and I'm just so excited to hear that this is going to happen again next year. I can't wait. So thank you again, all. That concludes the announcements. There are no addenda this evening. And that takes us to disclosures of pecuniary interest. I have a disclosure with respect to bylaw 57-217, which deals with Mr. Berry, his rezoning, and also bylaw 62 for 2017, again, another matter, a planning matter, and that relates to Wendy Gold. Our law office has in the past and does represent those individuals. So when we come to that portion of the agenda, I will ask for those two items to be removed from the package, and I will hand the floor over to, or the chair over to, whoever the acting mayor is. By the time we get there, the clerk will have informed me of that. That takes us to public notices. There are no public notices of upcoming meetings. And the regional council report. Good evening, Councillor Annunziata.
Good evening, Your Worship. Good evening, members of council, members in the audience. So, I share all the comments that I heard. I was very fortunate to attend the Fire and Ice event, and it was just absolutely an incredible event. So congratulations to Councillors Butler, Zanko, and Pissirro, the dynamic trio, for putting on such a wonderful event. I will say this, though. Me and myself and the mayor, and I believe Councillor Pissirro, and I saw Councillor McDermott there as well. We did have the opportunity to attend the 25th anniversary of the Multicultural Center, and that was just an incredible event as well. I had the good fortune last week to attend one of the last seatings ever at the Pomegranate Restaurant, and that was an incredible experience as well, and I'm looking forward to the new version of the Pomegranate Restaurant. So that's a decade-old program in the Culinary Arts Program at Fort Erie High. That's going to be continued at the new high school, so I'm looking forward to that. And again, we mentioned the Fire and Ice event. So just an incredible opportunity to say how blessed we are to live in this community and to recognize and celebrate the incredible volunteerism that we have in this community. So congratulations to all involved. And Freddie, you're doing an amazing job. And you know, you got my support in anything that we can do on a regional level to bring funds to and awareness to the Fort Erie High School. I've already contributed to that. So absolutely. Getting back to events at the region. We did have an interesting delegation come forward, and very Fort Erie-centric, Dan Gabriel from Mars Homes. He came forward with a request for a grandfathering of our Brownfield CIP. We had two applicants, actually, Mars Homes, and the other one, I believe, was in Grimsby. So they came forward requesting that if there's any changes to the Brownfield CIP at the regional level, that they do not impact these developments that have been in the planning process for quite some time now. So I was very fortunate. I was a member of council in 2008 when we actually secured the services of Lucione Piccione to put together our Brownfield CIP. We talked about predictability to the investment community. We talked about how important it was to provide assurances to developers when it came to brownfield remediation and the possibility of contamination. We are fully supportive at the region of making sure that, at the very least, that these two programs are grandfathered in there. I know it's about a $200,000 savings, the CIP, in the Mars development, and it's quite more considerable with the other ones. So, again, providing that predictability, I think that's important to our partners. Draft Regional Development Charges Bylaw. We were very fortunate last week. We hosted the Niagara Industrial Association here in the town of Fort Erie. Your Worship was there. Councillor Butler was there. And we heard loud and clear. And congratulations to Dominic Rossini and certainly his committee at the Niagara Industrial Association. They have made it very, very clear that any impact on industrial development charges will impact the ability of industry to compete and certainly expand and grow new business here. We're going to take that message forward to the region, and we're going to make sure that if the development bylaw is set at zero right now, moving forward, we're hoping to keep it at zero. That's an important incentive. And again, going back to predictability and providing assurances to our industrialists that you want to expand, you want to move industry here to Niagara, you're not going to be out of pocket millions of dollars before you even put a shovel in the ground. That's a disincentive. So we're going to be taking that message forward as well. I do chair the T. Roy Adams Humanitarian of the Year Award. We'll be making that announcement. And why is that significant? That is an award, an achievement I'm very proud of, that we at the region recognize the humanitarian efforts of one of our local citizenry. And there's a long-standing history here in the town of Fort Erie. Catherine Mindorf was the recipient at one time, and I believe we had one other recipient. I'm not quite sure. But we will be making that announcement very shortly, who this year's recipient is. And again, it's to recognize their humanitarian contributions to not only the Niagara region, but certainly to the broader community as well. This past week, the provincial government put out four of their provincial policies that they've been working on. Places to Grow, Niagara Escarpment, Greenbelt, and Oak Ridge's Moraine. I encourage anyone to read those documents. There are some changes to them, whether or not they benefit the Niagara region and Fort Erie as a whole. I'll defer to planning staff whether or not there was changes in those plans to make sure that we prosper and we continue on the path of sustainability here in Fort Erie and certainly in Niagara. I will bring your attention to a great program that we started some time ago at the region. It's the Waterfront Investment Program. As you know, the town of Fort Erie was the recipient of Waterfront Investment Program funding last year. We will be making announcements at Planning and Economic Development tomorrow. The Waterfront Investment Program, we have one applicant that received funding, and that is the City of Welland. And I just really want to echo these comments because I think the criteria that we go by as a region is so transferable to what we have going on here with our waterfront strategy, Your Worship, and I know you've been a strong proponent of that. So the Waterfront Investment Program is an incentive program that enables a range of stakeholders, including private sector interests, local area municipalities, Niagara Region, the NPCA, nonprofit organizations, and the public to work together to improve and access to and provide sustainable investment in Niagara waterfronts. The Waterfront Investment Program was approved by Regional Council to replace the former Lakefront Enhancement Strategy Incentive Program with improvements to the program recently brought forward for approval in January 2017. The Waterfront Enhancement Program incorporates a business case model with evaluation criteria concentrated on leveraging return on investment, regional economic impact, and public realms consideration. Program improvements approved in 2017 have been well received by stakeholders. And again, one of the major changes to the program was we're looking for large-scale developers right now. So we still do have public realms funding for more modest asks, but this one is specific to generate as much economic impact as possible. So moving forward, I'm hoping that the town of Fort Erie will again be putting forward an application for 2018, and we will be successful. There's a lot of great projects along our waterfront that we should certainly be capitalizing on, and I know it has the full support of this council. So that concludes my statements and my report, Your Worship, and I'll open up to questions or comments.
Thank you, Councillor Nunziata. Certainly, if there's an opportunity for us to obtain money from elsewhere, we will be there. So thank you for the invitation. Any councillors have any questions? Councillor Nutt.
Thanks, Your Worship. To the regional councillor, I had attended last week on the 17th the meeting at the region for the Active Transportation Committee, or the Transportation Steering Committee, pardon me. And we were discussing the consultant's report regarding transit and the roads network. There was a very large focus, and I'd just like it to be reinforced with the regional councillors that in that report, there is a lot of east-west movement, but nothing to address north-south. So nothing really in planned roadways from Waynefleet, Port Colborne, Fort Erie to link into the GO. They talk specifically about linking into the GO, linking into the airports, and all the future transit expansion. But there was nothing in there to address north-south movement. So, you know, that leaves out quite a few municipalities as the planned GO corridor is going to run along the shore of Lake Ontario, which I know you're aware of. I just wanted to bring that forward, that I raised that concern there for the people of not just Fort Erie, but for Waynefleet and Port Colborne, as I feel that that linkage is going to be essential. Now, we do have some, such as the 140 and the 406, but those are older roadways, older highways, and anything we could do to expedite maybe the connection of the 406 all the way down to the Garrison, the number 3, might be of great importance in getting people to those links where the GO stations are.
And
thoughts?
All great comments, and absolutely, between Mayor Redekop and myself, we are consistently advocating for linkage to the town of Fort Erie, understanding we are the fourth largest municipality in Niagara, and we do have a very large mobile labor force that we have to maintain some kind of robust transit system that is going to provide predictability and get people to where they want to get to in a very timely fashion. So we keep conveying those comments moving forward. To your point about a north-south linkage, we do have some challenges as far as finding the appropriate funding to get that kind of predictability in place. But moving forward, we see federal commitments coming forward for infrastructure and transportation. We see provincial commitments coming forward for infrastructure and transportation, and making sure that we are ready to accept any of those dollars coming down. And I think we've done an incredible job here looking after our own house in the town of Fort Erie. And the best thing that we can do is help ourselves first and go to our funding partners with a solution rather than just our handout, and I know we've done that. Carla Stout has done an amazing job. Our Transportation Steering Committee here in the town of Fort Erie has done an amazing job, and they are very, very familiar of our needs and our concerns at the region level, and we're going to make sure that we emphasize those going forward. So thank you for those comments.
Yep. You're welcome. Thank you. And I just did want to, if you could express my thanks to Ron Tripp. I did have a conversation with him prior to the meeting. He did say that you had been up to see him several times about the issues on Stevensville Road, and yes. I thanked him for them painting the solid line. He also did say that they're going to take a long-term look at what they can do to put in some traffic calming measures, starting at Bowen Road, working towards West Main and East Main intersection all the way down to help slow the flow of traffic, as he agreed that people do maintain their 80 kilometers per hour. And although you have been successful in urging the Niagara Regional Police to step up their enforcement, I just want to say thank you very much. It was a good conversation with Mr. Tripp, and they are taking it seriously and looking to do something on that road for us. Thank you.
No, my pleasure. And any other issues come forward, by all means, with regional flair, bring them forward. But I think you do touch on a issue that we do have to address moving forward, and that's certainly as we grow as a community, we have to make sure that we have the infrastructure in place to maintain our safe corridors, whether it's regional roads or municipal roads. So moving forward, that's something that should be first and foremost on all our minds.
It actually leads to the conclusion that Stevensville Road won't accommodate all of the traffic that's going to occur. We may need to be looking at an alternate route that will at least bypass the center of Stevensville, because you can't expand that road any further.
A lot of the discussion that we had was around building a complete street, which addresses many of those concerns, and taking a more holistic approach to not just the street as its present condition, because there are no sidewalks, there are no bike lanes, things like that. But when they are reviewing it, Mr. Tripp told me that they're applying what they call a complete street solution, which is a wider road for future expansion, but also sidewalks, the whole bit. So I'm sure we'll see some great things done in the
hopefully. Future. Yep, for sure. Any other counselors of the regional counselor? Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata. You did remind me that on Friday and Saturday, the two high schools had their farewell open houses. They were both very well attended, and it was kind of interesting to see people getting back together who hadn't seen each other sometimes for quite a while, and some of the photographs, how some people haven't aged at all, and some people have aged a lot. I guess it's a harsher life that they live, but no, it was great. It was really good for the community, and I know a lot of people enjoyed that very much. Okay, that takes us to presentations and delegations, of which there are none, which takes us then to the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda? Not, then Councillor Zanko, you have the resolution with respect to those items.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments about any of the items in the consent agenda? Not, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to new business, and the first item relates to, well, before we get to the first item, we did have an inquiry the last regular council meeting with a follow-up at the last council and committee meeting regarding the EDTC and potential funding for the Canada 150 events that are going on in Ridgeway on July the 1st and on either side of that. And so to respond to Councillor Lubert's inquiry, the EDTC has made connection with the organizers of the Canada 150 events in Ridgeway, and they have struck an agreement with respect to the funding of some money for advertising on the premise that certain conditions will be fulfilled. So that has been taken place. Councillor Passero, you have the first item then under new business.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council appoints Brian Webb, Black Creek Leisure Home Seniors Group, to the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee for the period ending November 18th, 2018.
Any questions or comments with respect to that? All those in favor? And opposed, that is carried. Are there any inquiries or items of new business by members of Council? Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. To get some clarification on some of the emails that we all received over the weekend, and Dominion Woods subdivision, the tree clearing, looking at the report and looking at the request, and then doing some inquiry, it seems to me that the Migratory Bird Act is a little sketchy as to what it's actually saying. And from what I've gathered, the Migratory Bird Act, the birds come into the areas and migrate up until sometime the end of May. And, but that is just bringing them in. Now they're laying eggs and, The chicks are hatching, and now we have nests with birds in them. And so now I'm looking at this, and we're saying that we're giving the developer the okay to move forward and start clearing some trees. And I'm wondering, can we get some clarification on how this act really works?
We definitely can, and there has been a correction with respect to some of the information, and Ms. Dolch spoke to me prior to the council meeting about that. So, Ms. Dolch, could you clarify the times when there are restrictions on the clearing of woods?
Yes, through you to the councillor. We contacted back in 2006 when this became an issue with a subdivision. We contacted the federal government, who controls the Migratory Bird Act. They advised us that the core breeding season is between May 1st to July 23rd. Dominion Woods Phase 2 has been advised of that time period. Again, that's just the core breeding season, but they are liable in terms of the Migratory Bird Act, that should they see nests, they need to be careful. They need to perhaps examine them. They have their own commitments, but we do identify that core breeding season to notify them that they really shouldn't clear between those periods. But they're still liable should nests be destroyed.
From what you're saying, they're permitted to clear under certain conditions.
Correct. In this case, we've let them clear outside of these areas, and provided there's no nests, and we've taken a security deposit in the amount of $50,000 should they not proceed in a timely fashion in order to secure. Again, that's more for tree removal rather than the birds, but to make sure that we're not just inadvertently having subdivision sites cleared well in advance of development occurring.
Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much. And just out of curiosity, how's this monitored? They have a responsibility as far as the birds, and if they've hatched and they're in the trees. And does anybody monitor that, or is it just their honor system?
Ms. Dolch.
Through you to the councillor, we did contact the federal government with regard to that as well, and it is more on an honor system. They're liable should the federal government be contacted for any reason by a resident or anyone. They will send the gaming warden out. It has happened. The gaming warden has been in Fort Erie before. In terms of do they monitor on a regular basis? I don't know. They just indicated it's a case-by-case basis. They, if they're informed, then they'll ask for the documentation on how they protected nests if it was in certain periods of time.
Okay, thank you very much. If I can, just one more question. The email that we received from Mr. Brady, and he made a comment in there that we are the only municipality that is that adheres or that enforces, I guess, or whatever. I don't know how he stated it, but we're the only ones that look and work with the Migratory Bird Act. And I'm really concerned as to if we're the only ones in the region that do that. The Migratory Bird Act is a legislative piece of, it's a piece of legislation. It's law. And so how do other municipalities not enforce it, yet the town of Fort Erie enforces it, and then it puts our developers at a disadvantage, according to the email. And I don't know that under the Municipal Act, if the other municipalities are allowed to give their developers that advantage over Fort Erie. And should we not be contacting municipal affairs and letting them know that this act is not being enforced by other municipalities?
Well, I happen to think that if we are doing our best to preserve aspects of wildlife, that that's our competitive advantage. In other words, people like the community because of the natural heritage features, the wildlife habitat. So if we're taking steps to preserve that, that's completely in line with the vision that we've set for how this community will grow and how it will be unique. But it's an interesting question, and it was somewhat surprising to me when I read it in the email. Ms. Dolch, do you have any background on this? Can you comment, or is this something best responded to by Mr. Brady?
No, I can comment. In terms of the why we do it and other municipalities don't, at one point back in the early, in 2006, we had a situation where a forest was cleared right after draft plan approval. The federal gaming warden did come down and advise us of the act and generally the responsibilities. More on the developer side than on the municipalities. So we felt it prudent at that time to just advise them through draft plan conditions that they shouldn't be clearing during these core breeding seasons. Are we at a disadvantage? We are the only municipality who does advise developers of this, but regardless of which municipality you're in, you are required to adhere to this act.
Hunter Lubertz?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. And I think that's the point that I'm trying to get across here is we're putting the developers at a disadvantage when we tell them and advise them that the Migratory Bird Act is there. The Migratory Bird Act is also a piece of legislation, which in my opinion is law. And I would just like to get some clarification from Municipal Affairs or M&R or the NPCA as to how other municipalities in the region don't have to follow the act, which is a piece of legislation, and we are following the act, and we're putting our developers at a disadvantage, and maybe those other developers are saying, well, there's no sense building in Fort Erie because we have to follow too many acts. So we're better off to go to Welland or St. Catharines or Port Colborne or Grimsby or Niagara Falls.
Well, considering the number of building permits we issued last year, it's hard to imagine that developers are having concerns about building in Fort Erie. But your question about the uniformity of the application of the Migratory Birds Act, that's, I suppose, something that we could address to the federal ministry and find out how they actually enforce that. So I think, Ms. Dolch, that would not be an unreasonable inquiry for us to make. Anything further, Councillor Lubertz? Any other inquiries by members? If none, that takes us to motions, of which there are none. Does anyone have any notice of motion this evening? If not, then that takes us to consideration of bylaws. And Councillor, you have the resolution, but I would ask you to...
57-2017 and 62-2017.
Deal with those separately, please.
Absolutely. Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw package containing 56-2017 to set the 2017 tax rates and to levy taxes for the year of 2017, 58 2017 to stop up and close part of Albert Street, Plan 990 and 991 and 992 on open road allowance, and to authorize an exchange of lands between the Corporation of the Town of Fort Erie, Valerie Beatty, and INI Corp. Valerie Beatty on the south side of Lakeshore Road. 59-2017 to authorize the entry into a voluntary payment agreement with the Niagara Parks Commission. 60-2017 to establish a policy for the sale of land owned by the Town of Fort Erie and to repeal bylaw number 184-07. 61-2017 to accept and declare lands as public highway on the west side of Buffalo Road, in brackets Matthew Held, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. That bylaw package as amended is on the floor for any questions or comments. Questions? Comments? I want to say that we did receive email communication with respect to bylaw 58, which relates to the exchange of lands, closing of a road allowance. And the last piece of correspondence I received was in relation to an inquiry of our lawyer as to whether or not the road allowance touches on the Flintlock Bay property. And I'm going to be forwarding that to the individual that had corresponded with me to give Mr. Lustig's response, which indicates that in his view, on the documentation that we have, on the surveys that have been provided to council at various stages, the Flintlock Bay property does not touch or encroach upon the road, doesn't cross the road allowance on land. It may if there was an extension of the road allowance into the lake, but the road allowance ends at the water's edge, so it doesn't extend that far. So I will be responding to that individual so he will have the answer. And I will copy that to Councillor so you'll have that. Okay, if there are no questions or comments with respect to those bylaws, then Councillor Butler, you have third and final reading, and again I would ask you to 57 and bylaw 52 from the package.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaws 56-2017, 58-2017, 59-2017, 60-2017, 61-2017 are given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and Clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. Now, Councillor Butler, you have the resolution for third and final reading. Was that seconded by Councillor McDermott? All right, so then how about if I hand the chair to Councillor Luberts to do bylaws 57 and 62. First and second reading is Councillor Nutt. Third and final reading is Councillor Butler.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. We have bylaw 57-2017 and 62-2017. Councillor Nutt, you have first and second reading.
Thank you, Chair Luberts. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, that 57-2017 to amend bylaw number 129-90-3303 Dominion Road, Alan Haywood, agent, Frank Renda, and Marcelo Petrella, applicants, Roy Berry, the owner, and 62-2017 to deem a certain registered plan of subdivision not be a registered plan of subdivision, Wendy Gould, 1618 Conway Place, be given first and second reading.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt. Those two bylaws are on the floor for comments or questions. Any members of council have any comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Butler, you have third and final reading.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Luberts. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaws 57-2017 and 62-2017 are given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and Clerk under the corporate seal.
Any comments or questions on those two bylaws? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. I'll turn the chair back over to Mayor Redekop.
Thank you very much, Councillor Luberts. That takes us to the next resolution. Councillor McDermott, you have that.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that bylaw number 63-2017 to confirm the actions of council at its meeting held on May 23rd, 2017 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. Councilor Lubert, you have third and final reading for that bylaw.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councilor McDermott that bylaw number 63-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Chiro and then Councilor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. With your indulgence, I'd just like to say that now that party on the patio is done, I go to party at the Kinsman Pool. And the first registration day is coming up Saturday, May 28th, 10 a.m. to noon at the Centennial Branch of the Fort Erie Public Library. Once again, swimming lessons are provided free of charge, compliments of the Jumpstart program, which is the charitable arm of Canadian Tire. So members of the Boys and Girls Club staff who facilitate those lessons for us will be at the library from 10 to noon, and we will have another registration day later on in June. But if you want your best pick of times and programs, May 28th, 10 to noon at Centennial. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just a follow-up question to Councilor Passero. Do you know how many children had registered last year?
We put, don't quote me on the number, but 340, just shy of 350 kids went through swimming lessons at the Kinsman Pool last year.
Wow, that's fantastic. As far as scheduling meetings, Your Worship, I just wanted to point out that we'll be entering our summer schedule.
Starting
as a point of reference, starting next month, I believe.
Right. So for June, July, and August, we will meet as a council twice each month, once as council and committee, once as regular council. And those dates are posted on our website. Any other meetings? There is a Transit Advisory Committee meeting on Thursday, May 25th, from 1:30 to 3 or thereabouts. And there are no other meetings to announce. Then Councillor Zanko, I believe you have the resolution that we move into closed session.
Yes, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that Councils is now going to closed session at 6:50 p.m. to discuss the following. Land matter pursuant to Section 239(2)(c) of the Municipal Act 2001, a proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of lands by the municipality or local board.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor, that is carried. I'd like to call this regular council meeting back to order. Councillor Passero, you have the resolution for us to rise out of closed session.
Yes, Your Worship, thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that council does now rise and reconvene from closed session at 7:12 p.m. with report that staff proceed as directed.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor of the resolution? None opposed. That is carried. That takes us then to Councillor Nutt's traditional resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council adjourns at 7:13 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of Council on June 19th, 2017.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? Great. That's carried. Thank you.